Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Plato's. The Republic is a foundational work of Western philosophy, written as a dialogue led by Socrates as he and his companions explore what justice is and why it matters. Rather than offering a simple definition, the book tests competing views, challenges common assumptions, and gradually builds a bold model of an ideal city to illuminate the ideal human life. Along the way, Plato connects ethics to politics, psychology, and education, arguing that a well-ordered society depends on well-ordered souls. Readers encounter some of the most influential images in philosophy, including the allegory of the cave and some of its most enduring questions. What makes a life good? How should power be governed? And can knowledge guide moral action? Even when one disagrees with Plato's conclusions, the work remains a rich training ground for thinking carefully about values, leadership, and the forces that shape character. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, defining justice through debate and counterexamples. The Republic begins with an argument about what justice is, staged as a lively contest of definitions that reflect everyday moral instincts. Plato uses Socrates to test proposals such as justice as telling the truth and paying debts, justice as helping friends and harming enemies, and justice as the advantage of the stronger. Each view is probed for contradictions and real-world failures, showing how a definition can sound plausible yet collapse under pressure. The method matters as much as the outcome. Socrates pushes interlocutors to separate social reputation from moral reality and to ask whether justice is merely a tool for survival or something intrinsically good. This opening establishes the book's central challenge, to explain why a person should be just even when injustice looks profitable. The early debates also introduce themes that recur throughout the work, such as the danger of rhetoric without knowledge, the temptation to treat law as a weapon of the powerful, and the need for a standard that does not shift with convenience. By treating justice as a question that must withstand cross-examination, Plato frames philosophy as disciplined inquiry rather than opinion trading. Secondly, the city and the soul as parallel structures. To make justice visible, Plato proposes building an ideal city in speech and then reading individual character through it. The city becomes a magnifying lens. By examining institutions, roles, and divisions of labor, Socrates aims to discover what justice looks like when scaled up. This civic model is then mirrored in a psychological account of the soul, commonly presented as having distinct parts with different motivations. The result is a powerful analogy. A city is just when each class performs its proper function in harmony, and a person is just when reason governs spirit and appetite in an ordered way. The point is not simply obedience, but internal integration, where competing desires are coordinated toward the good. This parallel structure lets Plato connect political disorder to personal disorder, suggesting that corruption, faction, and tyranny reflect failures of self-rule. It also explains why education and culture are political issues. Shaping citizens means shaping the inner architecture of desire and judgment. Even readers who reject the specifics can use the model to think about how habits, status incentives, and social narratives reinforce or undermine self-control and civic trust. Thirdly, education, culture, and the making of guardians. A major portion of the Republic examines how an ideal society should educate its leaders and citizens, especially the guardian class tasked with protection and governance. Plato treats education as character formation rather than information delivery, focusing on the emotional and moral effects of music, poetry, storytelling, and physical training. He worries that popular tales can train people to fear death, admire vice, or treat the gods as inconsistent, thereby weakening courage and integrity. The discussion highlights a broader claim: culture is never neutral, because repeated images and narratives shape what people find admirable. Plato also sketches a demanding curriculum aimed at turning capable students toward stable knowledge, often culminating in advanced studies that cultivate disciplined reasoning. At the same time, he proposes strict social arrangements for guardians, including limitations on wealth and private interests, to reduce conflicts between public duty and personal gain. Whether one sees these proposals as visionary or overly controlling, the analysis clarifies a timeless political dilemma: how to cultivate leaders who can resist flattery, corruption, and short-term incentives. The Republic therefore reads as an exploration of how institutions, media, and training regimes produce the kinds of people a society relies on. Fourthly, philosopher rulers and the problem of political legitimacy. Plato argues that the best city requires rulers who love wisdom and can grasp what is truly good, not merely what appears useful. This claim elevates knowledge over popularity and frames politics as a craft with standards, like medicine or navigation. The philosopher ruler is portrayed as reluctant to govern for personal glory and motivated instead by responsibility to the common good. Yet Plato also recognizes the tension. Philosophers may be ridiculed or sidelined in ordinary politics, while ambitious demagogues can exploit crowds. The Republic therefore explores legitimacy as more than consent or force, tying it to competence and moral orientation. The famous contrast between opinion and knowledge is central here, as Plato suggests that stable governance needs leaders who can see beyond shifting public moods and private appetites. Readers can interpret this as a defense of expert-guided rule, a warning about propaganda, or a critique of political systems that reward persuasion over truth. The discussion remains provocative because it forces a hard question: if most people disagree about what is good, on what basis should power be assigned? Even without embracing philosopher kings, the book supplies a rigorous framework for evaluating leadership, institutions, and the civic costs of treating politics as entertainment. Lastly, Allegory of the Cave and the Journey from Illusion to Understanding. One of the most influential sections of The Republic is the set of images that describe how people move from ignorance to insight, especially the allegory of the cave. Plato depicts human beings as prisoners who mistake shadows for reality, suggesting that ordinary life can be dominated by appearances, social approval, and unexamined habits. Education becomes a turning of the soul, a difficult reorientation toward what is more real and more intelligible. The allegory also emphasizes the pain of learning. Adjusting to the light is uncomfortable, and those who return to help others may be mocked or resisted. This image links epistemology to ethics and politics, implying that confusion about reality produces confusion about value, and that societies may punish those who challenge collective illusions. The broader lesson is that freedom is not simply doing what one wants, but learning to want what is worthy. For modern readers, The Cave readily maps onto media ecosystems, ideological bubbles, and status-driven thinking. Plato does not offer easy optimism, but he proposes that disciplined inquiry and moral training can make a person less captive to impulse and public noise. The result is a lasting meditation on truth, responsibility, and the risks of enlightenment. In conclusion, The Republic suits readers who enjoy big questions about morality, leadership, education, and human motivation. Students of philosophy, political theory, law, psychology, and literature will find it especially valuable, but curious general readers can also benefit if they are willing to follow a sustained argument in dialogue form. The book can improve a reader's life by sharpening moral reasoning, exposing hidden assumptions about success and power, and offering a memorable model of self-mastery as inner order. It encourages readers to examine how desires, emotions, and beliefs compete, and how culture and institutions shape what people treat as normal. Compared with many modern books on ethics or politics that focus narrowly on policy or personal development, The Republic combines both levels, showing how personal character and public systems reinforce each other. It is also worth buying because it remains a central reference point. Later thinkers often respond to it, refine it, or argue against it, and understanding it provides context for centuries of debate. Even when its proposals feel extreme, its questions remain urgent, and its images continue to clarify what is at stake when societies argue about justice. If you would like to support Plato, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.